All right. So does everybody have a binder tonight? Did you get a binder on the way in? Does anybody not have a binder? Let me ask it that way. Okay. So there's one in the back. She can give you one back there. Good. So my name's Corey Stark, and I'm the director of Ignite, which is our week-long training program, and also one of the leaders down at the International House of Prayer in Kansas City, and former leader in the ministry. And so down in Kansas City, we just celebrated our 16-year anniversary of going night and day in prayer. And I say that to say God is releasing grace to pray all across the earth. This morning, I had mentioned that in 1984, we have done a lot of studying into day and night prayer. There was less than 25 places in the earth that were going night and day in intercession. And today, there's over 10,000. And so for anybody to want to sit in a room and tell God what he tells you to tell him and skip a few meals called fasting, it's got to be the Spirit of God. Because who would want to do that as a full-time occupation? But yet God is raising up people all over the earth to do this very thing because he is planning for the kingdom to break into the earth in power. And he uses words spoken in faith as the means to release his governmental power. I mean, he could do it any way he wants, but that's what he's chosen. And he wants people to partner with him in voluntary agreement. So here we are. I came back from England not too long ago, and they had a Methodist church, get this, a Methodist church got overwhelmed by the Spirit of God and started prophesying. People were getting healings. I mean, so they invited the pastor to step out of the Methodist denomination, which he did. But on his way out, he said, would you guys just do this last thing for me? Would you buy this building? Because I want to start night and day prayer. And so they bought him a building, and it happened to be a brothel. Okay, this is the building he wanted. And so they bought it, and they ministered to the girls. Some got saved, some went on their way. But then they converted this brothel into a house of prayer. It's called the Beacon House of Prayer. It's in Stoke, England right now. And so it was my second time visiting these guys, and I am just so encouraged every time I go, because not only do they have a big room like this downstairs, but upstairs they have all these individual prayer caves that are filled nonstop with pastors and leaders coming in to just spend time in prayer, contending for God to break in the UK. And of course, you know this story, but I'll tell it again because it's one of my favorite ones. We were in an orphanage down in Juarez, Mexico, which was the murder capital of the world, back in 2010. And this orphanage began to pray, and they began to pray for an abortion clinic that was on their block to be shut down and contend for life. And these are like 2-year-old kids to 12-year-old kids. And so the Lord shut this abortion clinic down. And so the orphanage bought the abortion clinic, and then they put their house of prayer in this abortion clinic. And so they asked Sammy and I and about how many of your friends? 30 of her friends. All a bunch of, you know, 16, 17-year-old kids. We went down there, and we spent a whole week teaching these little guys about the love of God and the power of worship and prayer. And in their little prayer room, you know, they're not going 24 hours a day, but they have a lot of hours. But in their little prayer room, they're worshiping, they're singing, they're doing art, they're doing clay, they're doing dance. And it's still, you know, I could show you pictures, but it looks like a clinic. I mean, it's got the medical lights still, and the walls are very sterile, but it's filled with the glory of God. And so God is doing this thing all over the earth, and he's doing it right here in Michiana, right? Malachi 1:11, in every place. And so I'm just excited to be here with you guys tonight, excited what the Lord is doing. Just a couple quick announcements as we begin. So the mall closed at 6, right? So they're closed now. So the front's open, and you can go around the corner if you need to use the restroom in the other side over here. But when we finish tonight, which will be about 8 o'clock, we're going to all leave out this door right here and go out the back, okay? So just so you know. So if you try to run out the doors now, you probably can't get out. So you're going to have to stay and go out with us this way. So you got to stay till at least 8 now. You're locked in. So there you go. Okay, if you have your Bible, open up to Psalm 37. You know, I know it's been a long week for everybody, probably a long day, so we're going to keep this fairly short tonight. But I want to envision us for what's going to happen this week. This is going to be a powerful, catalytic week, not only for us personally. I mean, every time we do one of these, God transforms us, me. I get changed. When we look at the Word, when we focus on Jesus, we can't help but to be transformed. He is that good and that powerful. But as a ministry, I do believe that this is another invitation, another opportunity for us to say yes and to go further in God together. I mean, we're going to have many of these until the return of the Lord, and then, you know, then it goes up a notch. But Psalm 37, verse 23, it says, "The steps of a good man," or the steps of the righteous, depending on what translation you have, "are ordered by the Lord," which means that he makes ready your path, he prepares it, he directs it. In Psalm 139, it says that all the days of your life were written in God's book even before you lived one of those days. I mean, try to get your mind around that. That he actually has your days all written down in his book. And it says in Psalm 37 again that he delights in the way that he's prepared for you. And so I want to just bring to light the fact that God directed your steps here tonight. You're not here by accident. I mean, I might feel like, you know, you just found out about this or whatever, or, you know, somebody strong-armed you to come tonight. But I want to tell you, God directed your steps here tonight, and he's pleased that you're here because he has something for you. He's directed you here. He delights in the way when you walk in it, his way. Now, flip to one other verse, Philippians 2:13. And the reason why I'm saying this is because I want you to know that we don't have to convince God to do anything this week. He's the one that brought you here because he has things that he wants to impart to us. He's the one convincing us of the good things, the good plans that he has in store for our lives. And the reason it's important to approach him in that light is because then we can rest. You know, we don't have to contend, convince. We can rest and we can just receive from the Lord this week. Okay, the Lord directed my steps. He's got something for me. I don't know what it is, but I know he's got good gifts for me. He's got good things for my future to give me a hope and a good future. And so I'm going to rest and receive from him instead of trying to strive and to earn. So Philippians 2:13, it's similar to Psalm 37. It says it this way. It says, "It is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure." What does that mean? That means when it says God's working in you to will, it means, like David said in another psalm, that he gives you the desires of your heart. So if you have a desire right now, I don't care where you find yourself in life, how much you're struggling, how victorious you are on the other end of the spectrum, but if you have a desire right now to grow in the knowledge of God, to grow in intimacy with God, to be used to further his kingdom, guys, that did not come from the devil. Right? Can we agree on that? The devil didn't inspire you to want to grow in the knowledge of God and be used by God. Right? And the Bible tells us that the carnal mind, or our natural mind apart from God's inspiration, is always at war with the Spirit of God. Right? So think back to your past life before you were born again. You were always doing the things that were contrary to the will of God. Continually, that's the nature, the carnal nature. So if it wasn't your flesh that brought you here tonight because you want to grow in the knowledge of God, and it wasn't the devil, then that leads us to conclude it has to be the Spirit of God that brought you. And the very Spirit, Philippians 2:13, that will cause you to will, or to give you the desire to do his will, is the same Spirit that will strengthen you or empower you to walk that will out. So we're here because he has something for us. He gave us that desire. He's going to impart something to us this week, for sure, absolutely. Because the Word of God's that powerful. You can't hear the Word of God and walk away the same. That's actually the danger of the Word of God. Because if you hear the Word and you don't obey the Word, you actually shrink back. You backslide. If you hear the Word and you put it into action, you go forward. But there's no static place in God. That's the two-edged sword of the Word. When the Word goes forth, and I don't care who utters it, the Word, God's Word in my mouth is as powerful as God's Word in God's mouth. Okay? I mean, the same is true for you. But when his Word goes forth, if we would but grab a hold of it and employ it in our lives, beloved, we will move forward. We will be transformed. In fact, the Bible actually says in 2 Corinthians 3:18 that if we behold the character, the glory of the Lord, we just behold it, and we primarily do it through the Word of God, it says we are being transformed progressively from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. So just seeing his character causes us to begin to be transformed so we feel more like he feels. We think more like he thinks. And so I got to tell you, this week we're going to spend a lot of time in the Word. We're going to minister to God through the Word. Part of the priestly ministry is learning how to actually use the word to minister to the heart of God, where we move his heart, and then he speaks back to us, and he moves our heart, which causes us to speak back to him and move his heart again. And it's this cycle, and we're going to do it through worship. We're going to do it through the word of God. We're going to do it through intercession. We're going to do it through praying for one another. Some of you are musicians and singers and artists, you know, dancers, writers, sound people. I mean, all of these things God wants to use for his glory in the house of prayer. There's no end to his creativity. And I'm just one that I want to press the limits of God's creativity through his people. Why not? I mean, why not? Why let the kingdom of darkness have all the fun stuff? We've got the indwelling spirit, infinitely more creative, infinitely more powerful, infinitely more wise. He can release creativity and power and glory and fascinate us. Why not allow the Holy Spirit to stretch the very limits of what he wants to do through the church? This is all what the Tabernacle of David's about. So we're going to talk a lot this week about that, and we're going to put it to use. We're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to touch God. We're going to make some great friends. We're going to be transformed. I mean, you can't lose. So I want to just introduce the team this week. If you guys all want to come up, let's welcome them up, you guys. So I guess since Sammy's holding Noah, I'm going to introduce you last. All right, I'm going to introduce you last because you're holding Noah. So I want to introduce Ben Anderson and Megan Anderson. These guys have become such great friends. I mean, we're meant to do the kingdom in relationship, right? And so, you know, you might have 120 in your sphere of influence that you're close to, and another 70 you're a little more close to, and then 12 that you pour into, and then you got the three, you know, that you really go deep in relationship with. And these two would be that for our family. I had the opportunity a year and a half-ish ago, or almost 2 years ago, wow, to marry those two. I've said in the past, you know, I married them, and then people look at me weird like, is this some kind of weird, you know? And I'm like, no, I didn't marry them. I married them. Yeah. So I married them in the fall. Oh, Noah. He's a forerunner messenger, for sure. He's a forerunner messenger. So I married them in the fall, and then that first of the year, so they went to, right after that, they went to Hong Kong to help launch a house of prayer in an actual life-size ark that's built in Hong Kong, right in the center of this ark. And while they were there, you know, they came back with this little shirt that said Made in China, and she was pregnant with Noah. And so, anyway, so they've been great friends. So just, you know, anything you want, just to encourage them for this week.
Well, as we were driving here yesterday, I was just reminded of something the Lord started speaking to me about in, I think it was 2008. I was still actually really unfamiliar with the house of prayer. I'd heard of IHOP. I might have even been there once, but I didn't really get it. And I was in India for a summer, and the Lord just kind of deposited this vision in me to travel from like community to community around the country and just go in and start a prayer meeting and help that community in the prayer meeting until it could be self-sustained and then go to the next one. And I mean, I had really no grid for the house of prayer at that time. So anyway, when we were driving out here yesterday, I was just reminded of that and how we actually get to do the very thing that God put in my heart, like, what, 8 years ago, that I had no clue what it would manifest as. And now with my wife and my family and our friends, we actually get to do this thing that the Lord knew when he was speaking to me about it. And I'm just so moved to be in this place that I feel is a manifestation of that very thing. And we have witnessed this explosion of people being drawn to the place of prayer. Like Corey said, we spent about 4.5 months in Hong Kong and got to go into China and connect with believers from the underground church who I mean, the house of prayer there is just exploding, would be an understatement. And these are people who've been interceding and praying for decades under persecution, and they are connecting with us saying, this is the thing we've needed, intimacy. We've needed the language that you have for the house of prayer, for knowing Jesus intimately and singing his word, all of those things. And so we've been to various countries and places around this country, and this is just what our heart burns to do. And so I'm excited to get ignited, like reignited again. When we go around and minister, we're the ones who are really getting impacted and ignited to do this. So I just want to say how excited I am to be here and honored and privileged to find myself in the will of God, not only for me, but for all of us. And I'm just full of anticipation for this week. Bless you guys.
I ditto that. Come alongside of him. So like he said, this is just what we love doing. We love traveling and meeting our brothers and sisters who are running this race with us. And each place we go to, we come in, and it's not just like, oh, we're going to hang out with you guys, you know, for 8 days. We're going to become friends, and then we'll never see you again, and da-da-da-da. It's we may not see you again until the Lord returns, but we actually are running a race together, and we will know back in Kansas City or whatever it is that we will be next, that we have family here in Michiana, who is standing before the Lord day and night because he's worthy of it too. And that you are hastening the day of the Lord with us here. And we couldn't hasten the day of the Lord without you. We need you. The Lord needs us together as partners and as his beloved, as his bride, to partner together all across the globe. And so we're saying yes to this week with you guys. And I just was asking the Lord for just a quick little phrase for you guys and coming in tonight. I just felt like he said, the hungry, the ones that come hungry and thirsty are going to be filled. It's a promise. And I just believe that this week, it's more than just a program. It's more than receiving a bunch of teaching and resources and having fun up on a stage. But though we will do that, the house of prayer was meant to be joyful. Amen. Right? The Lord said it. We're going to have joy. We're going to have fun. But we're also going to encounter the Lord. And I really believe it. So come expecting. We're coming expecting to touch the Lord with you every day and every session, whatever it is that we're doing. And we just want to say thank you for having us as well. And we've heard so many stories. I've known the Starks since 2010. I went through Corey and Meredith's internship, and then decided I have to follow them wherever they go. And so here I am, married with my family, still following them. And I just so appreciate them and value their leadership in the house of prayer. And to get to come here and see their friends in Michiana, to meet you guys and now put faces with the stories, it's just incredible. And I just say thank you guys for what you're doing here. It counts. All that you do, be it 2 hours, 20 hours a week, it all counts, and it all goes to hastening the day of the Lord. So we love you guys, and we are glad to be here with you.
Amen. Amen. Ditto. Yes, I ditto that. Now, I saved the best for last, right, Sammy? This is my little girl, Sammy Stark, yes. So I just have to tell one story about her, and then she can say what she wants to say. But when we started the house prayer, she was 3, okay? And so when we started the night watch, she might have been 4 years old, 5 years old, somewhere there. But we started the night watch. I used to bring her down in her little Barbie sleeping bag and her little Barbie blankie and put her under the sound booth because it was warm under there. And then we would do our sets in the night. You guys remember that? That was so funny. And so she's grown up literally in the house of prayer. We had a little kids team, you know, and 6-year-old, she started singing on that team. And Lennon, you remember Lennon playing drums at 5 years old? He would just, you know, have to rest every now and then and stop playing drums. That's cool. And so anyway, it's been such a joy. And then to watch her continue to write songs, be before the Lord, And then when we moved to Kansas City, to be able to get into the teen worship teams and grow as a worship leader. And so it's been the greatest privilege for me for the last year, taking Sammy with me on a lot of different ministry trips and conferences and having her lead worship and sing. And so anyway, it's just a joy. So she's only going to be with me a couple more months, man. I'm just keeping her there because in September she's going to YWAM, to the missions base there. She's going to be heading out for 6 months to do missions because the Lord's always put that in her heart. And so, anyway, it's going to be a lot of fun. So, Sammy.
Ta-da. Hi. Yes, my name's Sammy. I'm really excited about this week just because I've grown up in this house of prayer and part of this community. And so it's so awesome to be able to come back and be part of this for this week. And as my dad said, the last year I've been able to travel with him to different houses of prayer and conferences. And it's been such a joy to be able to be with him. And I'm really excited about what the Lord has for this week. Every place that we go, it seems that there's an outbreak of joy and healing, physical, emotional, and we always have a great time together. And so I'm so excited to impart and also to learn. And as Ben said, we all get reignited together. So I'm excited. Thanks for having us.
Amen. Good. All right. All right. Thank you, guys. So I just want to take a couple minutes and just talk about the power of coming to taste and see this week, because that's really what we're going to do. I mean, it's just going to be a short, the week's going to go by really fast. And David said in Psalm 34, he said, taste and see that the Lord's good. And what he's talking about is, you know, when we experience something new of the Lord, when we taste it, it actually changes the way that we see things. It changes our perspective on him, about us. And I've had people say, you know, well, this is only a couple days, or I can only come a day. You know, how much can actually happen in a day? It only takes one moment to encounter the Lord and be changed forever. Just takes one moment. So if you're going to be here for a moment, that's giving God an opportunity to transform you. For me, back in 1988, I'm driving down the road, and I have this vision, an open vision of a circular platform. I saw every nation, tribe, and tongue represented on this platform, and the people were dressed in their cultural clothing. They had instruments that were native to their land, and they were all worshiping towards the center of this platform. But what was coming out of their mouths and their instruments was not sound I could hear, but it was light that was coming out. And it was all converging together, and it was going up to the throne of God. And I knew that it was Malachi 1, verse 11, which just simply says, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the Lord says, my name will be great among all the Gentiles. And then he says, in every place, incense, which we know is prayer, and worship will arise to my name, for my name shall be great among all the nations. And so it was that day that the Lord actually gave me the first glimpse into the global prayer and worship movement. And I said, God, whatever that is, however that works out, I want to be a part of it. Though, you know, I just belonged to a local Sunday church at the time, Christian Tabernacle. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of that before, but over there in Mishawaka. And we met, you know, Sundays, and we were really radical, so we also met on Wednesday night. And we had a Friday night prayer meeting for an hour. And so, but our church was so disconnected and scattered. And what I mean by that is, you know, you had the evangelistic group. So I got saved in 95. But when I got there, the first group that made me feel the worst was the evangelists. Because they pretty much made our church feel bad. They weren't out on the street preaching the gospel enough. So I joined that group first, because I'm like, I'm going to be a part of this group because they make me feel the worst. The second group that made me feel really bad was the intercessors, because if you showed up Friday night to the meeting, you would get the stink eye, like, where were you last Friday night? That's the first thing you get. So I'm like, I'm joining that group next. So I was an evangelist, right? Do the intercession thing. But then we also had, you know, the teachers. We had the worshipers, which back then, since I had no grid for worship, I thought they were just the lazy guys that kind of just sat around and didn't do a lot. And then you had the inner healing guys that everybody ran from, right? So we have all these, and then the prophetic guys, which back then it was Bubba, you know, and Brian is this weird group, you know, which you never knew what they were going to do. So you had all these different groups in our little 300-person church that were so disconnected and scattered. And I'm looking at this Malachi 1:11 prophecy going, God, how in the world are you going to pull off a global prayer and worship movement unto the measure, Ephesians 4, measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, a glorious church, in perfect unity with you, if we can't even get 300 people in unity? Like, I was so confused by that. So the Lord let me wrestle with that for about 3 years, which is pretty good for him, because a lot of other things I'm wrestling with for 20 years, but this was a 3-year wrestle. And in that time frame, I met Bob, you know, and so we started doing some stuff out at the camp. And I remember 2001 in the spring, the Lord just simply said to me in a time of personal prayer, I'm going to show you by the end of this year how all these streams are supposed to flow together. And so it was that year that we accidentally found our way to Kansas City. And I told the story this morning. We went to these trailers that, frankly, I was really embarrassed that we came to. That was the International House of Prayer. But when we went in, we were overwhelmed by this sense that the people in this room were ministering to God. And there was a 14-year-old girl that was singing Worthy is the Lamb for about 45 minutes. She never stopped. And I realized for the first time, she's not singing it to try to provoke me to sing. She's not singing it for my benefit. She is just simply ministering to God. And the Lord said, Corey, this is that. This is Malachi 1:11. This is what I'm going to do in every place, every tribe, every tongue. I'm going to raise up a priestly people who come before me, not because they want something from me, but because they want to minister to my heart. This is about intimacy. And I'm going to raise up a priesthood under the anointing of the first commandment. And from that place, they're going to go out and do all the works of the kingdom, even greater works than these, he said. And so again, I said, Lord, whatever that is, whatever that 14-year-old knows that I don't know, I sign up for that. I want to do that. So we come back, you know, to northern Indiana. We get the garage at the camp and 16 people about with that little orange, you know, Harp and Bowl manual. You guys remember that? I know the Vitas remember that, right? The Harp and Bowl. Bob took that manual and he put it in my chest and he says, you're teaching this. Remember that? And I go, I'm not teaching this. This is Mike Bickle's thing. And he goes, no, this is God's thing. And I was like, oh, you got me on that one. So we began, you know, and basically how it would go is I'd read the chapter almost word for word to the 16 people that were tolerating me speak, and then they'd ask questions that I couldn't answer, and then we would do it again the next week. It was glorious, right? So that's what began the every Monday night Harp and Bowl teaching that we would do for years, and there began people coming from hours away. I mean, people from Chicago would come, and people from, you know, Evansville, Indiana would come, and people from Detroit would come. I mean, all over the place. Just to hear about the Harp and Bowl and some of these few values and be a part of our house of prayer. And so it was amazing to me. And then in 2007, you guys, you know, some of you know the story, some of you don't, but my wife and I were miraculously reconciled together at the house of prayer. I mean, God used this community and the house of prayer to restore us. And then the Lord gave Meredith, who, how many of you know Meredith is always right? Okay, I'm a wiser man today, right? He gave Meredith this crazy idea to go to an internship in Kansas City. And I could not figure out for the life of me, why in the world would we go spend a few thousand dollars and take off 3 months to go have guys in Kansas City teach us to do what we've already been doing for like 7 years. Like, it just did not make sense to me. And so, but then I thought, oh, well, this is probably about Meredith. Like, you know, the Lord wants to bring her down there, bring healing to her heart and touch her. And so I want to be the good husband and serve my wife. And I'm going to help her get to Kansas City. So I agreed to take her down there. And so we get to Kansas City. And day one of the first internship, guess who was on the floor crying like a baby? It wasn't Meredith. It was me. I was totally, Jehovah Sneaky got me, man. I realized, no, this wasn't mostly about Meredith. The Lord wanted to do some things in my heart. And some of the things that he was doing in my heart was he was teaching me the why behind what we were doing. It's like for years, we were good at the what. This is what you do. This is how you do it, right? This is what you do. This is how you do it. But during those years, I did notice that many intercessors were coming in and they were sincere and they were faithful and they were committed. But then some months and years later, they were gone. And it's like, God, why do people come in the front door as fast as they're going out the back door? And it was because many of the people, I look back and go, they didn't have the why. We didn't have the why solid. And so the Lord began to show me the why behind what we were doing there. And I had so many aha moments like, oh, that's why that didn't work. Oh, that's why that worked. And so over the course of that internship, again, the Lord begins to speak to my wife, you're going to move to Kansas City. And I was like, no! I was like, now I know that's the devil, because there's no way we're moving to Kansas City. Our primary assignment is in northern Indiana. But then a few days later, you know, the Lord and Meredith convinced me. And so we transitioned to Kansas City with Sammy. And honestly, it was one of the wisest decisions of my life. How many of you know being in the will of God is the smartest thing, right? It was the wisest decision of my life. And we went as a family, and we have grown so much in God. And the reason I'm saying all this is not to say you're going to move to Kansas City or whatever. It's to say, who knows what God has in store for you as you continue to say yes. Like, my journey has just been a consistent yes. The Lord will show me something. I never saw it before. Yes, global prayer and worship movement. The Lord showed me the priesthood. Yes, I want to be a part of that. He moved us to Kansas City. Yes, God. And today we find ourselves in a position of being a family filled with joy. We love what we do. We love one another. I mean, my family's my best friends. We travel together. We minister together. We're growing together. And I want to encourage you, who knows? I don't care what you've done in your past. I don't care what mistakes you've made. Because if you know us, you know we've made a ton of mistakes too. But who knows what God has in store for you now if you say yes, if you just say yes. And so if you open your binder up, I want to have you pull out. There's a page in the front cover. There should be two pages in the front cover. One is personal information. It's not that one. It's the other one with two questions on it. Christy, you might need to grab some pens from the front desk up there if they don't have pens. And I just want you guys to take a minute and answer this question. Two questions I have for you. Again, we're going to bring a few pens up if you don't have them. But question number one is, why are you here this week? Like, what are you actually seeking from the Lord? The reason that you're here. And a good way to look at it is, if Jesus stood in front of you right now and just gave you a blank check and said yes, what would you ask him for? What would you ask him for? Okay, she's coming with pens now. How many need pens? Just raise your hand up. Okay, good. Just these few up here, Christy, need pens. Good. Just keep your hand up again. Thank you so much. So good to actually define what it is that you're looking for. And then the second question is related to it, with the understanding that nothing is impossible for the man or the woman or the family that is completely given to do the will of God. I mean, just a yes in their heart. You say it, Lord, we're going to do it. With that understanding, what is the one thing that's holding you back from actually doing the will of God right now? And if you don't know, I know a person that does. His name is the Holy Spirit. So, Holy Spirit, I ask that you would just reveal to every heart, what is that one thing that's holding them back right now? Good. Just about another minute. You guys can take more time on it later. Don't overthink it. Usually the first thing you get is the best, right? Over the course of this week, you're going to have the opportunity to give those things to the Lord. If you could do it tonight, say, Lord, here it is. I give this to you. I want to remove every stumbling block from you guys receiving this week. Okay, when you're done, if you want to just take your binder and open it up. First, we have a welcome page. Of course, you guys can read through that. But the rest of the binder is basically filled with resources that we're going to use over the course of this week. We've got an apostolic prayer sheet that are biblical prayers that are found in the Bible. And they're so important that we actually use them as our foundation of prayer, because we don't most naturally know how to pray best. Many times I've been in prayer meetings where the norm is to speak to the devil about getting rid of the negative. And when we are coming together in corporate prayer and the focus is on unity, then there's certain things that you can do to enhance unity. And one of those things is to pray the way God prays. And what I mean by that is in the apostolic prayers, there's about 25 or 30 of them in the New Testament. You'll notice that none of them are directed at the devil. And there is a time and a place, of course, for rebuking demons that are hindering people. I get that. But when we're asking for cities and regions, which we're going to contend for Michiana this whole week, we speak to God for the release of light, power, his kingdom, and the positive dimensions of the kingdom. And when light comes in, his light, his love, his peace, his joy, it's infinitely more powerful than what the devil has to offer. It instantly goes. It's like coming into a room. You could command darkness to go all day, or you could flip on the light switch. And so the apostolic prayers teach us to speak the way that God speaks. Again, the key to answered prayer is what? Well, you got to pray, yes. But when you're saying words, what's the key to getting God to answer? I mean, it's really one thing. Aligning with his heart. Another way that you could say it would be the scripture I gave this morning, 1 John 5:14. It says, if we ask anything according to his will, we know that we have the petitions that we asked. So if we would just ask him the things that are according to his will, we know every single time he's going to say yes. Now, how many of you believe that the Holy Spirit was the one that inspired the whole word of God? Right? Am I in the right group?
Yeah.
Okay. That means then, every prayer we found in this Bible is the perfect will of God. Right? So if we pray a prayer we find in the New Testament, we know all of us in this room with 100% certainty God will say yes to it because it's his will. And if we ask his will, he said he'd always give us his will, right? So this is the reason why we want to use the apostolic prayers as the foundation of our prayers, so that we can get the whole room together in corporate unity, because there's a synergy in corporate unity. You know, I don't understand how it works, but I know it does work. One puts 1,000 to flight, two puts 10,000 to flight, right? So if we could get a whole room of people praying the will of God at the same time in unity with his heart, guys, that is when change happens. And that's what he wants to happen in the house of prayer. He wants to use the house of prayer as his vehicle to release his governmental power in the earth. And he's teaching us how to do it. I mean, if we live 70, 80, 90, 100 years in this life, all those years are but an internship into the next stage called the millennial kingdom. We're all in an internship. So we gave you the a short list of the apostolic prayers. There's a few more. And there's some other things that we have in this binder that we're going to reference throughout the week that we're going to use. In the back are some songs. But this is going to be the binder that you're going to keep all week. And as we hand out teachings each day, we're going to have them three-hole punched. Can we do that, Christy? Three-hole punch? Okay. So then you can just put those in the binder. And by the end of the week, notes is my love language. So my goal is to fill your binder with notes. So you're going to have a lot of notes. So I encourage you to come in the afternoons, come in the evenings, and we're going to do that together. Now, if you would flip your binder over to the backside, this is the schedule. Just want to look at the schedule for a minute. The first thing I want to say about the schedule is that throughout the entire week, we want to be very intentional about creating a safe greenhouse environment that everybody will have an opportunity to participate. We want to give you confidence to sing. We want to give you confidence to play an instrument if that's what you do. Confidence to pray on the mic. Confidence to participate from the room. Confidence to open up your Bible and encounter God. So that's what the whole week is about. It's going to be a safe place for you guys to grow together. As one family, we're going to go before the Lord every day. And I get that some of you will be here for, you know, different times, and some of you can make it all week, and some that aren't here will be here. But for the most part, we're going to go together day by day, and we're going to grow in the Lord together. Now, the two main focuses that we have in that schedule, the afternoons are set up for us to learn how to encounter God through the Word together from that side looking this way. So somewhere along the line, the church traded encountering the person of Jesus for just learning facts about him. Okay? But that's not the way it's meant to be. We were given the written Word of God to encounter the living Word of God. And when we open up the Word, it doesn't matter how you feel, if you're having a bad day, good day, we can always find Jesus between the lines on those pages. And so there's real practical tools that we're going to give each afternoon at 11 o'clock from 11 to 12 when we have our briefings, how we're going to encounter the Lord today through the Word. We're going to meditate in the Word. We're going to do many different kind of things. And then we're going to enter into time of the prayer room, where there's different formats that we're going to use. We'll teach you all about that. But time's beholding the beauty of Jesus. Time's interceding for His Spirit to be poured out in Michiana. And then we're going to debrief after that 2 hours in the prayer room from 2 to 3. And we're going to talk about some of the hindrances to prayer, some of the hindrances, you know, from encountering Him, as well as some of the helpful tips on try this next time, do this next time. But if you stay with it for the whole week, I promise you that we're going to go somewhere in the Lord, and this is going to become more familiar to you, and it's going to be a lot easier. I mean, He wants this to be easy. So the Lord doesn't hide things from us. He actually hides things for us to discover. And we're going to go on a treasure hunt this week into the grace of God. We're looking for those, you know, the gold in His personality. And again, if we behold Him, we're going to be transformed. So that's what the afternoon focus is all about. And we're going to spend time ministering to the Lord together in our priestly ministry. Then the evening focus, and Ben, if you want to come up and just talk a little bit about the practicum, the evening focus is we're going to have a time of worship each night where we get to worship corporately together. We're going to have teaching on themes that enhance prayer, corporate prayer. You know, teaching on prayer doesn't produce prayer. You'd think it would, right? But what produces prayer is themes related to intimacy with God. When we know that God likes us, He delights in us, He desires us, we want to talk to Him, right? When we understand the urgency of the hour that we're living in and that our words spoken in faith make a dynamic impact right now, like if I speak from this platform in unity with His will, there can be girls that are trapped in sex slavery in Southeast Asia that will really be affected. It matters that I open my mouth right here. When we realize that, that's what causes us to want to pray. And then when we have the want to, then we can talk about the practicals of prayer. So we're going to speak about themes that are related to developing unified corporate prayer all week. And then we're going to have some Spirit-led ministry times, and we're going to ask the Lord to come and minister specifically to one another. So I want to invite you to receive prayer all week long. You know, don't feel like, oh, I've already been prayed for 2 nights. I can't go up the third. No, come every night. We'll pray for you. We'll have times of Q&A. And then we're going to have what we call our practicum, where now in the evening, we're going to train people from this side how to lead the room in corporate prayer. And again, it doesn't matter what your gifting is. God wants all of them in the house of prayer. So artist, you're in. Dancer, sound guy, musician, singer. You know, I used to joke about spoons players. I was telling Eric earlier, when we used to do our harp and bowl thing on Monday, I'd always say, you know, even spoons, you know, God wants spoons in the house of prayer. Well, one day a guy raised his hand and goes, I brought my spoons. And I was like, really? So we let the guy get up and play spoons, and it was anointed spoons. So all of it, you know, it can be in the house of prayer. So anyway, so Ben's going to lead the practicum. So just tell him a little bit about that.
So I know some of you guys are familiar with the harp and bowl model. But one of the words that Corey's thrown out there a few times is confidence. And that's really what we want to instill in everybody here, is confidence that you can be a part of a worship team no matter what your skill level. If you are a virtuoso guitar player, please come up on stage. If you can play one chord, you're qualified. If you can fog a mirror, you're qualified to get behind a mic, right?
I've never heard that before.
If you can do that, qualified. And, you know, I love teaching harp and bowl. It's actually, it's one of my favorite things to teach. And it's this funny thing that happens in my own heart every time. I mean, it's been a couple dozen times probably. But every time there's this thing in me that's like, man, I hope it works. And it's like this little fear. It's like, I don't know, maybe it won't work this time. Every single time, that fear is just totally crushed and demolished. I mean, when you can have a 5-year-old and a 75-year-old singing on the same set, who they've never met each other, nobody on stage knows anybody's name, they haven't practiced together, it's on the spot, and they can all do it, you can't break that. I mean, if those kind of people can come up under this kind of model that's been constructed to where it's so safe, we like to call it the safe greenhouse for people to come in and sing the Word of God together. I'm telling you, I have seen it all. I've led these labs where everybody is singing in different languages. They don't even sing the same language as each other, but because of the construction of the model, they're actually able to lead a worship set together. So I just want to encourage you guys that no matter where you're at or even what you think you have to give, that there is a place for you. There's a place for you in the ministry to people in the room. Maybe it's even being a sound guy. Maybe it's running the screens. Maybe it's being a singer. It can be anything. But we're here to encourage you that anybody can do this. And I'm excited to be up here coaching. And as you guys do it, I'll be really interactive. I kind of go into this like alter ego when I get into coaching. It's just so fun to see people do something they didn't think they could do. And I know that's the case for a lot of you in here. So I'm excited, and just get ready. We're going to have a fun time. And yeah, there will be times when you might be pushed out of your comfort zone a little, but there is somewhere for you to land every time. And it's just so much fun. Yeah. So that'll be every night. I'll teach like there's a few different formats of the model. So we'll do one format one night, one format the next night. And then the next couple nights, we'll just get volunteers to come up. And by the end, everybody will have a chance to do this. So, yeah.
Awesome. Good. So I'm wondering about this alter ego. Will you wear a cape when you do it? You could be, yeah, it could be kind of fun. Okay, so just a couple announcements then in closing, and if you have any questions, and then we'll dismiss for tonight. But one thing I want to say is for everybody, just be open to learn some new things. Some of you, it's going to be just reinforcing some things that you already know, that you've already learned. But what we're going to show you isn't the only way to do things, and it's not even the best way to do things. It's just the way that we know that gives people confidence to participate in corporate unified prayer, and that's what we're going for. So learn it this way, and then I know the leadership team that's here can help kind of tweak it and make it work for your prayer room after this. But if you have any questions this week at all, any suggestions or any feedback, we take it really serious. I mean, I've learned more about people's feedback to me and complaints and suggestions than anything else. And so we actually will have a sheet that you get a chance to fill out at the end. And I want you to be very honest about the things you loved about this week, the things that you think, oh, that could be a little bit tweaked, or even I'd love to see this added into the program. So you'll get that at the end. But again, you can speak to us all week about that if you feel that. Also, if you're able, please arrive on time to all the scheduled events, because we want to start right on time, whether it's in the day or the evening. And the reason why we did the prayer room from noon to 2 is for some of you that, let's say, work throughout the day, you might be able to just pop in for lunch. And if you can only come in for an hour just for lunch, come in and sit in the midst of this, Monday through Friday, if you can do that. If you can be here all week, afternoon and evening, that's great. Or we, again, adjusted the schedule, so the evening will be the majority of the teaching and the ministry time and the practicum, so those of you that work throughout the day can at least make all the evening meetings as well. Bring your binders and your Bibles with you to everything, okay, because we're going to use both of them every day. If you can remember to do this, put your phones on silence for the teaching times and the prayer room times, because we're going to be recording most of it. And especially if you're up here, singing, you don't want your phone going off and then bobbling your phone trying to get that while you're supposed to be singing. So if you just shut it off, that would be helpful. And then due to our desire to make this free for everybody, so we don't have any cost to this. You guys just registered and came because we want everybody to participate. We don't want anybody to be left out. Because of that, we're going to be taking offerings every evening so that you guys can sow into not just the work of what God's doing right here in Michiana, because, of course, we want to sow into that. We want to partner with God in building this house of prayer, but we also want to partner with what God's doing all across the nations of the earth with this Ignite team, because we are going to, just in the next couple months, we're going to be going to Germany, we're going to be going to San Antonio, we're going to be going to Bellingham, Washington, I'm going to be headed out to Singapore. I mean, so the Lord is raising up corporate worship and prayer everywhere. And just know what you sow in this week is going to the global prayer and worship movement and what the Lord's doing. So just be prepared to do that this week. and invite your family and friends. Invite other ministries to attend as much as they can. I mean, you don't have to be a part of this house of prayer to come this week. I mean, I would love it if every church in this entire region came to get equipped and to get trained with this model so they could go back to their church and do it on a Sunday morning. They can do it in the week on a Wednesday night. So don't feel like, you know, well, I'm only going to invite the people that are part of this ministry. Invite everybody that you can, just even get a glimpse of it. I remember back in the old days, you know, some of the most powerful times was after the meeting place when pastors were here and we would go into the house of prayer model just for a little bit, maybe an hour or two. And I remember pastors sitting there looking and just going, what is this? You know, because it's so different from than just a Sunday morning worship expression. This is a place of us learning how to actually minister to God and go somewhere in our priestly calling. So if you know somebody that isn't yet registered that you think should be here, please invite them and have them come out. Again, even if it's only for one night, they may benefit from that. Tuesday night, you know, during the normal time that we would have the meeting place, we're going to have what we call our encounter night. It's going to be just a little bit different, but we're still going to have the same type of feel going on. We're going to start at 6. So those of you that are here, you can come right at 6. We're going to do worship for a little bit longer, extended time, have a message, have ministry time, and we'll still do the practicum at the end. So invite your friends to that. And the ones that would normally come to the Tuesday night meeting place, they're going to be coming anyway. So that'll be a lot of fun Tuesday night. Tomorrow morning, the briefing begins at 11 a.m. So if you guys can be right here, we're going to start right at 11. So if you come just a few minutes early, that would be great. And then that will be followed by 2 hours in the prayer room, followed by our briefing. And again, if you can't attend, you know, because of work, and you can just stop in for the prayer room time, we'd love to have you just even sit in for those couple hours there. Last thing is in your binder, the first sheet, if you open the front cover, there's a little sheet there that's some personal information. This is the only thing I'm going to request of you tonight is that you just fill that out before you leave and drop that off to us on your way out. So this is kind of an important information sheet for us, especially related to what you want to do in the house of prayer. Instruments that you play, and we just need a little personal information like that. Just take you a couple minutes to fill that out. And on your way out, again, we're going to all be going out this door here in just a few minutes. You can just hand that to us on the way out the door. So any questions at all about what I covered tonight or what we're going to be looking at this week? No questions, dumb. Yes, sir. Yeah, good question. So he's asking about lunch. So we start at 11 to noon will be the teaching, right? And then prayer room for 2 hours and then the debriefing till 3. So you can either eat after 3 or before 11. There you go. Yeah, yeah. I mean, so for me, yeah, yeah. Or you could just fast all week. No. Yeah, so for me, you know, I'm just going to eat after the briefing in the afternoon, and then I'm a late eater, so I'll eat again later that night. But either way, yeah, whatever works for you, you know. Now, yeah, and I'm sure there's some place you can even out in the mall if, you know, if you just get famished like at 2:15 and you got to run out there and grab something, you can. Yes, ma'am. Yes. Yeah, we're going to record everything that we do this week as far as the teaching content. And we'll make that available to you. So after the Ignite week, we will give a link to everybody that participated here that you guys can listen to those messages again. You'll be able to get those. Yeah? Yes. Yeah, we'll have all those notes as well on a PDF format that you can download later. Uh-huh. Yeah, we want to make this as easy as possible for you. And we'll probably have some leftover hard copies that you can grab too, I would guess. But if not, yeah, you can get the electronic version. Yes, sir. Eddie! Yeah. Love you, man.
How will that affect our teams, the evening teams?
This week, how will it affect the teams? Oh, after this. Or no, this week. Yeah, that's a good question. Eric, how will it affect their teams this week? You won't be doing them like normal, right? Because, yeah. So when we do our... when we do some of the worship in the evenings, if you had an evening team, we're going to fill in some of the gaps, you know, because obviously like tonight, you know, Ben led and we had one singer. But so we'll have a few spaces to throw some people up there just for fun. And in the practicum, everybody can participate. Then after we leave, then, you know, you guys will get right back on track. So this is kind of a special week that we might throw you off just a little bit for fun. Yes. Oh yeah, good point. Yeah. So also everybody that's coming to the evening practicums, yeah, please bring your instrument. So of course, if you play drums, we've got drums here. If you play keys, we've got keys here. If you are a singer, you're going to bring your voice anyway. You don't have to think about that. But we've got hand drums. But if you're a bass player, if you're a guitar player, if you play another instrument that you don't see up here that you want to play, then bring those with you every night, okay, when you come. Spoons. Got any spoons players in here? No, okay. Bass players? Saxophone, yeah, that's good. Yeah, saxophone, good. Any other questions? Shofar? Okay, there you go. Good. Anybody else? I'm excited about the Vita sitting back there. I just like seeing you guys in here. Josh. Okay. Okay, for the evening sessions, park over there. So when they leave afterwards, it'll be locked, so we're going to go out this door again? Okay, but park over on this side. Okay, there you go. So everybody park over on that side. Or else you're going to have a long walk out that door and all the way around. Yeah, so you get some good exercise, but yeah, you might want to just park right up there. Good. Anybody else? Okay, so let me just pray over you. We're going to have an amazing week this week. Please just take a few minutes to fill those forms out. You can drop them off right here on the way out the door. We'll be standing here taking it. Sammy, can you gather them from everybody on the way out? That'd be great. You can say hi to Sammy on the way out. So, Father, we just thank you for this week. Lord, thank you for all that you have in your heart. You brought us here. You directed our steps. You are the one that works in us to will and empowers us to walk it out and to do it. And so, Lord, we ask you for everything that's in your heart. Lord, would you give it to us this week? As we're faithful to show up, you won't do our part, but we can't do your part. So here we are, and we ask you, fill us up, strengthen us with might, open our eyes up to the beauty of Jesus. Prepare us, Lord, as a bride for your coming. And let us have a lot of fun, a lot of joy in your house of prayer, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, bless you guys. We'll be hanging around for a little bit longer if you have any other questions. Then we'll see you tomorrow at 11 a.m.